Hey guys, this is episode 5 of the First Stage podcast. My name is Aaron Durbin. I am here. Caleb is absent with an illness, and we have a guest host here. You might remember him from the last episode. It is Stephen Feldman. Stephen Feldman, what's going on?
Hey guys, how's it going? How you doing, Durbin?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to see you
here.
Again.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. First Stage podcast, second time. Second stage for me. I'm excited.
It's good. Like there was some like stuff with the last podcast and stuff. Is there anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think I should probably make a formal apology for last week. I made a comment about trans people that was just kind of rude and not clever, or it didn't have anything to do with a joke. And when I listened to the podcast, I was like, oh, I was drunk and an asshole. I don't really feel that way. So if I offended anyone, my apologies. If it was bad enough to make me lose you as a fan, I probably deserve it. It was kind of rude. Super not happy with myself for that. So I hope everyone will forgive me. And we could just move on.
All right. We're moving on now. Like I said, like this is the First Stage podcast, and we like to keep things open and stuff. There's not a point where you don't want to be too. If you want to bullshit like interview, watch the regular TV, and then they'll have that out there for you and all that shit. But we're gonna get to our first guest. Just kidding. This is the first ever intro that is based on our first guest. Our guest today is Paul Arias, and I have a intro that is just for him, so we're going to go ahead and play that. Let's play now.
Crocs. Rage.
Yeah, did you like that, Paul?
I love it. What did you say? Anger? What was it after Crocs?
Rage. Yeah.
Rage. I'd like to start off and apologize in advance to all of Durbin's trans listeners. So just in case.
You know, I was actually more worried about just the backlash from Selena. I was like, Selena's going to kill me. And I talked to Kelsey about it. She was like, we listened to it. And Selena didn't even acknowledge that you said that.
I talked to Selena and she said it wasn't that bad. She's like, no, it's fine. Like, I thought it was a funny joke. So,
It wasn't. That's the thing is it was not serious, but it wasn't funny. And that's why I felt the need to apologize.
Also, Durbin, thanks for having the LaCroix on hand, brother. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, for the people that don't know, Paul is like an avid like fizzy water guy. Yeah. And so like I got the basic bitch LaCroix, which is just the regular with no sodium, which is why this is how I got into LaCroix, because I was normally a Topo Chico guy, and like I'm like, oh, this is all that extra sodium. Like, right. So like LaCroix has no sodium, so like I feel pretty I feel like I'm not hurting anyone by drinking LaCroix, and it feels good about that.
Yeah, so, man. You know. Yeah, LaCroix. LaCroix's pretty good. So is there's this stuff from Walmart. It's called American something that Walmart sells, and they're out of stock on this stuff. It's a mint mojito and a Moscow Mule sparkling water, zero carbs, zero calories, zero sugar. The shit, but they're sold out. You can't get them.
Really?
Yeah.
My favorite one is Big Swig. If you like, I think it's based out of the Austin area, and they had it here in our crappy Uniteds.
Yeah.
That's where they lived, and then they just don't sell them anymore and stuff. But like, they were like $3.50 for like a 12-pack, which was awesome.
Big
like
Swig.
Yeah.
I need to look into it.
There was only 3 flavors. So they were fantastic.
And they sell at the ghetto. When you say crappy, you mean ghetto. The ghetto Uniteds, one by my house. I'm right here, Durbin. I'm right here.
I'm sorry, not the Market Streets, you know, where I normally shop at.
Where I shop at.
So, Paul, like, Paul's been doing comedy for a couple of years. When did you start comedy, and when did you, like, how did you get into it?
Okay, so it was February 2000, man, it's not, was it 16? 16. 2016, I believe. And my wife had saw something on Facebook about it, and she's like, hey, well, let's go here tonight. I'm like, well, let's do it. And we're not impromptu people, we don't even really go out like that, but I said, all right, let's go. And it was at backstage, and I saw, that's when I walked in, and you were doing that Michael Jackson impression, right? About my impression of Michael Jackson at a Whole Foods or something.
Yeah, it's just real quiet whispering.
Yeah.
Can I have a coupon for it?
I believe you said,
some wheatgrass.
It was something, where's the kale? Or can
yeah,
you?
Something, where's the kale? Yeah, something stupid.
And I thought that was hilarious, man. And then Dave went up, and... what stood out with me was his ending where he says, I like my coffee the way I like my women, blacking up my ass. And yeah, those two really stood out. Oh, what's his name? Ortiz, right? Is that his name?
Taylor Ortiz.
Taylor
yeah.
Ortiz, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
he did that one about working at Sprout where people are afraid of doing something on the first date. People are so cautious about what they put into their body because he works at Sprouts. People are always asking for gluten this, organic this, and he says he's the kind of dude who eats ass on a first date, right? So
yeah, that's a bold move right there.
Those stood out to me. So as soon as I saw that, I'm like, man, I think I can do this, man. And I was hooked.
Yeah, so like you went up like just
shortly after on Tuesday at, what was that, Rico Room?
Yeah.
I remember you coming in on, I want to say it was your first time performing. I remember you coming in and you had this, it was just all down. It's the way you perform now, very natural. You just went up and started talking and it was like you didn't have any stage fright or anything. You were just up there and you were like, I want to tell you guys some shit. And you just went off. And we're like, all right.
Y'all were sitting at the back table. It was you, Socorro, Dave, I want to say Caleb was there. I'm not sure if you were there or not, Durbin.
Yeah.
I used to sit at that back table when you're on the stage or when you're in front,
mm-hmm.
the corner left hand side.
Yeah,
all
big,
the way back
the
there.
Big
yeah,
round
the
table.
Big round table. And I remember when I went downstairs, y'all were all smoking. And Socorro says, so how long have you been doing this? I said, that's my first time, man. And you could tell Socorro tried not to be like, oh shit. He's just like, Like, it took him a drag of his cigarette. Like, motherfucker, at least tell me, hey, man, that one bad, dude.
Good job. Well, you might not have thought you did a good job, so you didn't want to be a liar.
I don't want to give this guy too much confidence.
That's true.
You know?
Valid point.
Yeah.
Valid point. But I was hooked. At first, I was a little bit, I didn't really talk to y'all too much because, I'm still oil field, but I was like, man, these dudes are a bunch of dorks. What the hell are they talking about, man? But the more I started coming around, I'm like, yeah, I like these sons of bitches, dude. The stuff they talk about. Yeah, and
we're a dysfunctional family.
And
for
then
sure.
And they tolerate me and all the shit that I say. And so that's what I was like, whenever people meet me, they're probably gonna be off put by me at first because I won't shut the fuck up and I say pretty much whatever's on my mind. So I didn't really want that to happen. I'm like, let me not expose these people. Let me, like Chris Rock, right? Let me introduce him to my representative. Let's do that at first, and then they'll meet the real me. So.
Well, we saw how you dressed, so we didn't really want you hanging out with us anyway.
Yeah. Guy rocking the fedora, the one guy in Lubbock, Texas.
Fedora and Crocs, man. So. I was like, what's this guy's deal? Hawaiian
shirt.
This
guy, this guy's gotten into many fights, and it's like it's just like, are you wearing Crocs, bro?
very confident. But That was it. It was, I wish I would have discovered this a long time ago, man. Kudos to heading out to you guys for sticking around with it for as long as y'all have been. So
it's been beneficial for my psychiatric well-being, I think, to be able to go out and tell jokes. And because I mean, I grew up in a family that doesn't believe in therapy, so like this is my therapy.
Yeah,
going up there and saying that shit.
I agree with you.
Well, I think I remember early on too, Paul. You and me had a lot of conversations about writing process,
yes.
And just in general, you know, how to create a joke. And I think we started off pretty close to the same time.
I think you started a lot longer than I had.
I started in October of 15, so it would have. You were very close to where I was at, you know.
Year off or whatever.
And we talked about my writing process, and we discussed yours, and I think that you helped me to learn how to write a little bit more freely. My style is pretty short and sweet, so
right.
it's nice to get perspectives like that. And then now, I mean, obviously, we've grown. It's been four or five years almost. Yeah,
it'll be four for me. One of the things that I remember that you helped me out with was, and I said this the other day on our podcast, Lena and I, Vanilla Beaners, is that I had talked about how every time we went over to my aunt's house or my cousin's house, they would always move their furniture around, Mexican chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And
Because they wouldn't want you to sit on shit. Every time Paul can't sit on this chair.
They don't like for the blind relatives to come over.
That was a weight joke and a bad joke, I guess. But no, weight joke and then a blind joke. But then I said something about moving their furniture around, and you called it, you said Mexican feng shui or Catholic feng shui, and I'm like, oh shit. And whenever I said that on stage, it's funny, dude. But you helped me. It was real concise, short and to the point. Boom, 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 boom. And then it was there. And nobody laughed. And I said, do you motherfuckers even know what feng shui is? And I'm on stage backstage. And they didn't. Someone raised their hand and I said, you're a fucking liar. People at backstage don't know what feng shui is.
Nothing like fighting with the audience to get,
yeah, you to get your stuff out.
That's my life, bro. Every single joke I tell is like that. So congratulations.
Well, hey, idiot. Why are you not laughing at this?
We did that one place over Diamond Lil's and Hobbs. And it was when you were there and Joe Cash was there.
Yeah.
And I had a joke. It was an Animal Farm joke. And I said something, Animal Farm, this and that. Nobody laughed. And I said, have you motherfuckers even read Animal Farm?
No.
Do you even know what that is?
Not again.
So I started attacking these people, dude, because, but it's me.
You're expecting a lot of the people of Hobbs, New Mexico.
to have read Animal Farm, or at least know what it is.
That place was, oh man, that was a bad place to do any type of intelligent humor, though. Because,
that's true.
Oh man. I remember, like, the first thing I said is I walked out and I was like, this is the only place where I've ever been to the restroom, and I washed my hands and I still feel like I'm dirtier.
I felt dirtier coming out, yeah.
I've never seen black water before I came to Hobbs, New Mexico.
That place was gross, man.
But, yeah, that was my first time, was at the Rico Room. And the first time I saw it, Laugh Up City, was at backstage. So I miss that place. I miss comedy, period.
Backstage was good. And actually, like, so this is the celebration that started, and like we always have, and you gave me a backstage a performance by you. Can you tell a little bit about that, what we're about to listen to?
Okay, so you asked for the oldest one, and I thought I recorded more. I guess I recorded after I'd already been in it for about a year, but I'm gonna be very honest here. The first one I recorded, or that I had, I think I had another one on the phone, but that phone messed up, and so I didn't have it. But the oldest one I did have recorded was one where I'd messaged Durbin, and I said, yeah, I say the N-word a few times in there, man. I don't think y'all want that heat.
We're saving that one for the Patreon when we start that.
And, I mean, it's not a hard R. It's a soft A, you know? I mean, but think about it. What is a hard A? I mean, what is it? It's a soft A. And I said, I got this one from 3 years ago, and it was there at backstage. I think I'm wearing a unicorn T-shirt. The thing with backstage is, whenever I would walk up on stage, like, you would have the butterflies, the, like, I mean, do I need to take another shit? And it was, I liked how the stage was elevated. And I believe,
yeah. Me too.
This was, no. This was, hold on, which one was this? Is this the Bruno Mars one?
I don't know. Maybe we should just get into
it. Let's just get into it
and talk to it after. All right, here we go. This is Paul from, was it 2014? Is
that 2016?
2016 backstage, Lubbock, Texas. Yeah. Here we go.
Where I can wear ridiculous shit in public and still get away with it. We got Mr. Paul Arias.
It's Trace Gerst.
Yep.
Is that Trace?
Yeah.
Hats. Wow, yeah. Yeah, I've been going bald since my first divorce. This shit sucks. I didn't know that she was safe. She did a good job of hiding the horns, but at $800 a month, child support sucks dicks. Anyways, man, how you doing? You doing all right? Good, good. Cash, that's some funny stuff, man. Mexicans who hang around with whites or who try to be white are called coconuts. And why I call coconuts? Because they're brown on the outside, white on the inside. Right, I've been calling coconuts since I was in school, man. That shit sucks dicks. So now I look like a coconut, right? So, man, this race stuff, it's a motherfucker, man. How many of you are glad the election is over? Right? I'm glad it's done with, man. With all the overt racism and bigotry, I'm glad this shit is done. That way we can get back to what matters most to us as Americans. You guys know what I'm talking about? That good old-fashioned, subtle, low-key, talk about you behind your back racism. That's what I miss, man. man. That's what I want to get back to.
We never got there.
I got my DNA results in the other day, and oh shit! And it actually turns out that that I'm not pregnant. I'm joking. There were DNA genealogy results for National Geographic. And it gives you everything as what you are, breaks it down, right? So I'm 36% Southern European, which can be Italy, Spain, Portugal. Then I'm 35% Native American, all the way from here down south. 13% Eastern Asian, and 8% Central and Western African, believe it or not. And looking at my results, a lot of my actions and behaviors throughout my life start to make sense. Like, the older I get, the tighter my clothes seem to fit. The more my body odor emits, armpits, right? And at times, I tend to have homosexual fantasies. So according to my genealogy results, man, that's just a 36 Southern European right there, man. At one point, I got in two accidents. Two accidents within 1 week, same intersection, both times me hitting two different cars. Genealogy results? Shit, that's a 13% Eastern Asian, man. Now, I've been married for a while. I've been with my wife for about 15 years. And my wife is she's a white chick. I've always wondered why I've been attracted to thick white women. Especially thick white women with a good credit score. Shit, man, that's just an 8% black right there. Man. That's all it is.
That's a solid joke.
Oh, shit, man. Trace was talking about social media earlier, and I was listening to this Bruno Mars song. What's it called? 24 Karat Magic. Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah.
In one of the lyrics, he says, "Spend your money like money ain't shit. We too fresh. Gotta blame it on Jesus. Hashtag blessed." I think people use hashtag blessed in the wrong ways. Ways they're not supposed to. Like, you see shit on social media like, I went raw dog with these two prostitutes at Villa Inn last month. This one got an STD test. Negative. Hashtag blessed. That's not the way you're supposed to do that shit, right? It's just... Yeah, it's or some family members, right? Like, hey, I'm hustling. I got shirts for sale, shoes for sale, half off, stolen. Hit me up. Hashtag blessed. It's just there's different ways that you can use hashtag blessed, but that's not one of them. Yeah, social media is it's a motherfucker, man. I guess that's all the time I got here. I want to thank you for your time. Hey, after the show, I'll be selling shirts and DVDs in the back. They have nothing to do whatsoever with comedy. Just some issues don't fit me anymore. And all 7 seasons of the Golden Girls, except season 3, that's the news to get. Y'all take care.
That was short, man.
No, that was good.
All that shit we
back
have,
in the day when we did this. Backstage shows, though, you know, we'd have sometimes 18, 20 comedians. So
yeah, that's right.
You'd have to run 3-minute sets or, you know.
But yeah, if you were towards the end, you would get time cut because you're just like, we got to be done by a certain amount of time.
Yeah, there's a...
Well, we also, it would depend on the signups too, though, because it would be like, sometimes we'd have a sign up and we'd give everybody 4 minutes. And then people would start coming in late and wanting to sign up at the end and be like, all right, well, you're getting shaved time. Like,
yeah,
we already got a huge set list. Like, it was...
That first one that I didn't send you that I had from...
The racist one that you didn't send us?
Yeah, from over 40. I use the word, like, I'm breathing heavy because my fat ass was running up those stairs. And this is, you know, this is before I dropped these 35 pounds, right? Before you see the new and improved Paul in front of you because I'm stronger, right?
Yeah, you look good. Yeah.
I was waiting for that. Thank you. Thank you, Deb. Appreciate that. It's nothing from Steven,
you,
I guess.
You,
so,
did,
okay.
You did lose weight, Paul. You totally did lose some weight.
But it was like, it was anxiety, it was nervousness, it was like, you're ready. And then my fat ass is up the stairs and I'm breathing hard. People are probably going to say, he's breathing hard now and he's just sitting down. But it was, I noticed the breaths I was taking, because I didn't listen to that before I sent you. That's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah,
in
I didn't
a long
listen
time.
To it either. I just ripped it and stole the audio and threw it on.
And then there's, like I say, motherfucker too much. There's certain stuff in there where I could have taken it out. Like, I think I should have used the went raw dog with two prostitutes, a villain, STD results negative, hashtag blessed. I probably should have used that for the end and then ended on that. That DNA, I don't know why I always got laughs whenever I said it was from National Geographic, because it was. So
I don't think people are expecting you to say National Geographic. I think it's
a weird combination of words to come out of your face.
Like this guy's not watching PBS or like listening to National Geographic or anything.
But they were National Geographic DNA genealogy results. But every time I said that, I would, when I first said, that was like probably the second time I said that joke. And because I used to write everything out, man. And so the first time I said it, I got a laugh. And the second time I said it, and like I waited for it to see if they were going to laugh, and they did. And I just don't, I guess because, am I saying I'm an animal or something? Am I saying, why are people laughing at me?
It's hard to say, man. You know, like there's stuff in your set sometimes where people will just start laughing and you're like, oh, okay, I guess that is funny. But I didn't, you know, I broke the funny part at the end.
Yeah, well, people like anyone who looks at anyone walking, they expect a certain thing. So they come in and look at you and see if they, and then you say something completely different of what we expect you to say. And we're like, oh, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah, you know? Like almost like it's absurdist because of your demeanor. And like up to that point, you weren't really talking. It wasn't like, oh, this guy, National Geographic dude, for sure. You know? So it's like, it can be off putting, I guess.
Yeah.
Walk in, like, I'm a big reader. I'm like, really?
I wonder if there's even an element of racism to National Geographic because of, you know, the photos they had back then and
the African titties.
Aboriginal women.
Yeah, I wonder if that's it. And
I wonder if National Geographic knows that people associate them mostly with, the African titty magazine?
The low-rate porn that this is the one they can get away with watching? I'm like, no, it's historical. I could go with that necklace. It's all good. So, like, you talked about Bruno Mars, and I feel like with Steven making his comment earlier, and I feel bad because I edit this podcast, and I'm, like, not a woke, like, person as best I can be. I thought Bruno Mars was black for, like, years.
Yeah, yeah.
Until something came out that, like, he was just, like there was a appropriation or whatever. I'm like, wait, he's not black? And so, like, apparently he's Puerto Rican and his mom's, like, Spanish or whatever. And, like, I'm like, well, it never came, like, I never, like, I was just like, he kind of does Michael Jackson style stuff. I thought he was, like, black, like Michael Jackson.
And he wasn't, hold on, Michael Jackson's black?
Before, pre-dangerous okay. Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson was black for a while.
Like, most off the wall, his, off the wall life. Shit.
50% probably.
Yeah.
I mean, off the wall thriller, yeah.
I'm probably, if Michael Jackson was alive, I'm probably more black than Michael Jackson, 8%. I mean, it's a little, 8%, I'm going to go with that for me. And that's legit, those are really my results right there.
I haven't done the, what is it, U2, whatever.
23andMe?
23andMe, there you go.
This guy's stuck in your 90s. Devin, you're stuck in your 90s references. I haven't done the U2 Bloody Sunday.
But like I always say I'm Irish, Dutch, German. I don't know if that's true or not, but like I always say it. I'm like Irish, Dutch, German. That's me.
I've listened to podcasts where the people getting the results of like ruined families, like, and this was around Thanksgiving, Christmas. People were giving the results for what they had gotten, for what they were, and their family, let's say they were Italian. That's the way they were brought up. And it turns out they were from Ireland or something. Like, they're fucked, right? Because this is what they grew up. This was their persona identity. This is how they, what is the word people use? How you identify, right? That's, yeah. I don't even know how you say this stuff. Hey, we were talking about, Durbin, you were talking about racism. I'm trying to make someone else is talking about racism instead of me. I was at my daughter's basketball game, and she has a team, a lot of black girls, and then she's one of the Mexican girls. Well, there's only one Mexican because they're half, right? So it's half Mexican. So there's only one full Mexican girl on the team, and my daughter has half of that.
It's split into two people.
And there was, so they were playing this other team of Mexican girls, and these girls were good. And this white mom was walking by with her daughter, and as they were walking by, these girls, my girls' team, they're rough. I mean, they're aggressive, right? And the mom told the daughter, "That's what you call street ball." And I'm sitting there.
That's awkward.
I'm sitting there with my wife. I'm like, and then I'm thinking about it. Hold on, what?
Why is it street ball? Step up to the tarmac now. You know,
I'm like, why is it street ball? Because there's black and Mexican girls. Because, okay, yeah, she's got a point. It is street ball, but it's street. But I mean, what would I've if she would have said, hey, look, there's street ball. I mean, how did I expect her to say it? Like, yeah. In curiosity, like she's looking at a zoo animal or something?
That's better than what she could have said. You know? Yeah.
I told my daughter.
Pretty mild. That's mild
like,
sauce.
This is a nice place. They have, like, nets for their basketball goals, you know? Like, I mean, shit.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, look, there's a good old, there's a street ball. You only see those in National Geographic next to African cities.
And then it comes back. But get back to your set. Like, I thought, like, you had a good response from the crowd on that. Like, and, like, the one thing with the backstage is, like, it was always usually when the crowd was good,
Yeah.
And you had a pretty good response. So if you had a joke that lit, that was where I got my first applause break there. I'm like, oh, shit, that's what an applause break is. Yeah.
I noticed, too, at the beginning, you can hear a bunch of guys talking, and that was such a frustrating venue because you would get these guys in off the street that were just, you know, bar hopping in that little area, and it's Thursday night. Like, obviously, there's a show going on. You could go literally anywhere else, but people always came in and wanted to talk at that venue.
Yeah.
And it was like, we couldn't just yell at them because it wasn't really our venue. You know, it was like, we couldn't chase off the business for the bar. And give ourselves a bad rep.
Especially them bikers, man. Them bikers were something else.
Oh, yeah.
Those bikers didn't stick around, but they figured it out. They were like, we share this bar on Thursdays. They start their show at 9 o'clock or whatever. We're out of here before 9. You know?
I used to do the joke. It's like, you want bikers to leave your bar. Just start doing stand-up comedy. And they'll get out of there real fast. Yeah.
I can't remember if it was on a podcast or if it was just on the video chats we were doing over the summer where Nate, I think Nate was on there. So the video chats, but he had a whole bunch of his friends he had a whole bunch of his friends show up, and one of the girls was using the outlet up on stage to charge her phone during the show. Do y'all remember that? Were you there?
Shit, I mean, probably. I mean, like, DJ Nate always had an entourage usually when he's up there.
Yeah.
I remember getting yelled at by somebody, some chick, because I talked shit about her on stage, and DJ Nate had people.
He's like, it's my girlfriend.
Those were his people. He's like, bro, what the fuck? And I was like, dude, I don't. She was fucking talking during my set, so I called her out. Like, I don't know. Check your bitch. No, there we go. All right, I had to get one really bad comment out on there every podcast from now on.
I apologize to all the bitches on Steven's behalf who are listening. Yeah. Paul, this is for you.
You can only apologize to Nate's bitches. Sorry to all the Nate's bitches.
Nate's bitches. What is that?
Sorry,
a T-shirt?
Nate's bitches. Like, you know, we want you to succeed.
Yeah. It's like, what is that, a stable?
We want you to be fans. We like you in the audience.
They get branded with NB, Nate's bitches. Nate will be glad he heard this.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
If I was supposed to go on stage. I think Clinton was still... Clinton? How do you say it? Is it Clinton or Clint?
Clinton. Is,
I think it's a soft N. Clinton.
He was still here.
What happened to that guy?
I just saw a photo of him on Instagram sharing a bed with two people of color. At a hotel in
women or men?
No, of course, dude. They're men. What do you expect? What are you thinking, man? I think they were in Austin, and he says that's the way you're supposed to road trip to save money. And it was a pretty funny photo, man. Yeah.
I mean, I think me and Caleb did the Border Comic Con and stuff. There were like four or five of us in one room in like the Border. What was it, like Best Western or something? And I was like, none of us are actually gonna sleep. Like, this is weird.
So what'd y'all do? Nut the butt or what?
No, I don't know. I think we smoked some weed and then like went to sleep.
Oh, on the floor. I don't even know if Borger if
that was a long time ago, by the way.
I don't even know if it's like a Best Western. It's like an okay Western.
Well, it's funny, like, because like I always gauge everything by the Motel 6 in downtown Santa Fe. Uh-huh. If you've ever stayed in there, like, it's terrible. Like,
is
it? It's Santa pretty rough. Fe? Yeah. Like, I mean, there are always like fights and stuff going. Like, because I was there for a comedy competition in Albuquerque. I went there and did the competition that night. It was me and Adam Hernandez, and neither one of us won or whatever. I moved on to the next round because we didn't bring enough friends or something. It was kind of like it was a bringer kind of bullshit thing. Yeah. Like, and And I'm like, well, I'm going to this Bike and Brew Fest in Santa Fe. And I was just like, I want to do is spend that much money. So I got this Motel 6 downtown by the rail yard. And yeah, and it was rough. I want to go back, though,
just a minute. You didn't bring enough friends, and that's why you guys didn't win. It had nothing to do with the content of your act.
Hey,
the jokes were all perfect.
The jokes were fantastic, and even said by the guy hosting it, he's just like, yeah, this guy just brought more people. So, like,
he told you that.
Yeah, his name is Adam Dominguez, and he is doing comedy in Las Vegas, Nevada right now. So,
no,
like,
no shit.
Yeah. So you can fact check me on that if you want.
I will. I figured Santa Fe would, the Motel 6 or all the hotels smell like patchouli and have like a meditation sponsor or something, dude. It was rough.
It was just like, I was just hearing fights outside the door. I mean, like, it was like a shoebox room, not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, your normal, like, standard thing and stuff. But like I wasn't getting any sleep because, like, it seemed like there was constantly fights or people getting shucking down for, like, money or whatever outside the door. So, like, I just, like, but, yeah, like, I can stay anywhere.
Yeah.
After staying in the Motel 6 in Santa Fe, I can stay anywhere I want, you know?
It's like, well,
immune to coronavirus.
Yeah.
Derek,
Layman?
Yeah. He stays in his truck. He'll sleep in the back or in
I can't do that just because I have a proxy key. So if you, like, go up and, like, you hit the thing on the side of the door, it'll open up because the key's in the car with me. So, like, I have too much anxiety for sleeping in the car, and I can't do that. Because I tried to do that in, Pine Springs, like, wherever Guadalupe Peak is. Uh-huh. I was just, like, I was coming back from Silverton, New Mexico or whatever, and I was like, I'm just going to take a couple-hour nap here. And I just couldn't do it because the anxiety was so crazy for me. Like I'm like, all right, well, I'm like, we're not sleeping. Let's just pull the car out of the thing, and all of it, like, parked right in front of the sign that says, you can't sleep here. I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like,
it was right, though. The sign was right. Because you couldn't. You
could. Apparently, it was correct, and I didn't know.
I've been in the oil field now for almost 10 years, and I can sleep anywhere, man. I can sleep anywhere. And in my vehicle, I don't have a proxy. I have that Nissan pickup, and
I miss an old key, like, just straight, like, open key.
I'll pull over at a Stripes or by anywhere, dude, and just crash out. There was some guys when I first got in the oil field, they hadn't worked in the oil field before either, and they were afraid of sleeping out there by themselves in their big work truck, these big Halliburton work trucks, because one guy said, well, I don't know if coyotes are going to come up. And as I thought about
it, coyotes in the truck?
Well, how are they going to open a door? They don't have, the whole old Fokker thing. Yeah. They don't have opposable thumbs, right? I mean, what are they going to do? It's that old Adam. Not
I
Adam
slept
Taylor.
In a tent last week, and I'm like, yeah, a coyote is a real thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a paper tent or whatever that I'm sleeping in. But, yeah, you have a door. You can close the door.
Yeah. Coyotes are afraid of people.
That's like being like, oh, well, what if a velociraptor comes up? Like, nothing's going to happen. You're in a truck, dude. Like, chill out.
They can open doors, though.
They can open doors.
Yeah, clever.
So, Paul, you've like your like day job is you like drive trucks and shit.
Yeah.
Do you try comedy out on the guys out there when you're out on the rigs and stuff?
All the time. Yeah, that's where I get a lot of my stuff. Is just my talking shit. Just straight shit talking, man. And from there, something materialized. I haven't written anything during this time. But over there, when I would work, I mean, I would write regularly. I would work five days a week, and of those 5 days, I would probably write four of them. I mean, every time, like, most time when I stop, I have 30.
Would you go out, like, write it and then come back and, like, whenever we had an open mic, try it out?
Yeah. 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 I would also make note cards. I would have note cards that I would go through. And I don't know if you see, I don't have it with me, but yeah, I have a lot of note cards saved, and I have books of just all my bullshit thoughts. And I used to write all the time, man. I always, I would think of how you hear, like, rappers say they're artists, right? Well, fuck, I'm a poet too, right? Like, what's his name? I'm a poet. What's his name?
I'm a poet. I'm a poet.
What is this? What is this, door?
Sorry, it's like I got a little Rock Me on dance going on here.
that one joke.
That was I'm a player. That's what it was. I'm a player. Like, I can't remember that rap song.
I thought you were doing the Dora the Explorer. I'm the map. Anyways, no, that one Mark Maron was talking about Bill Hicks. He was yelling at that woman, "I'm a poet," or "I'm a fucking poet." Yeah, that's. I think if we write it, I think it's a pretty shitty bar for entry, but we're poets then, right?
I think so. I mean, like I have shit to say, and I want people to hear it.
I'm a fucking poet.
I'm like, this is the only way it makes sense to me, and the only way you can know me is to know these things that I say out of my mouth.
But they're like, it's a lower level of poetry. Like, we're not, we're writers, right?
Right.
But we don't write for anything specific except for ourselves. It's not, you know, we're not authors. We're not, you know, screenwriters.
Like, it's like, I don't know, like gestures of the commonplace of the world or whatever. It's just like, see these things that are served to me and like take them in and like, I don't know, that's the way I look at it. Like,
well, I'm not going to deny that we're artists. Like, obviously we are. It's, I mean, we're doing live performances. Right. So if anything, we're performance artists as well. So we're definitely artists. I just don't know if I'm going to say so. Like, yeah. I don't know if what I'm writing is poetic.
Okay. So, but even the term artist, that sounds kind of douchey for us to say. Like, if I say, "Hey, I'm an artist," you're like, "Yeah, shut the fuck up, man." But why is it if someone can play an instrument, "Oh, this guy's a musician." Someone does a little woodwork, "Oh, this guy's a fucking carpenter." But for us, we have a hard time saying, and now I do, "Oh, I'm an artist," because I'm not. That's the way I feel. I don't know. Even though we tell jokes sometimes.
Paul's from the streets. He can't be an artist.
That's true.
He's too gangster to be an artist.
So I was,
one of the best applause breaks I ever got was the time that we were doing that show at Local, and everybody in the back was just
Such a terrible room.
Oh, it was like, awful. Really tall ceiling.
You couldn't hear anything in the back of that room.
No, it was just a big tunnel. It was awful for comedy.
Shotgun room.
The biggest applause break I ever got was I was in the middle of my act. I was getting pretty frustrated. I dropped the mic down to my hip and I screamed, "Shut up! I'm trying to share my art with you."
That was a good laugh.
I was so angry, and like, it's funny now because it was like, that's the dumbest fucking thing you could yell in anger. It's like, let me share this with you. But the whole front, like, it got so quiet because I screamed as loud as I could, and it was like that thing was a cannon, so it was a big megaphone. Yeah. It went straight to the back, and for a second everything fell silent.
Yeah.
And then all the people in the front were just like, "Woo!" It's the biggest applause break I've ever gotten. And it was out of anger.
That's pretty good. Anger and sadness.
But yeah, I mean, that's how I felt. It was very natural. I didn't plan on saying that. It just came out like that. I'm trying to share my art with you.
That's so, like, the big frustration, though. It's just like, you know that they're like, if you can have a venue where like you can do your show and people that aren't on board are not affected by the show and they can do whatever they want, it's when it's all one room and you're like, you all have to like absorb me telling these terrible jokes to you, and you have to like suck it in and get with it, and just some people aren't into it, and like usually you can overcome that, but every once in a while there's some person or whatever that you gotta, like, you have a NASCAR joke that's not accurate and they yell at you about it. Caleb Davis, what's going on?
you asking if I tell my jokes out there or whatever it is? Yeah, man, all the time. And those people out there, they do their best not to laugh at me, you know, or not to, like, yeah, better. There's some guys that just get a kick out of not, even though if it's in the spur of the moment and it's impromptu shit and it's just me being me, they won't laugh. There's this one dude I work with. He's a Navajo, right? And I was down there and with him in Houston. And I mean, I was coming some shit all the time, just us going out talking shit.
He was the guy that you couldn't get to laugh or whatever.
Yeah, all the time, man.
I'm gonna make this guy laugh.
Yeah, dude, fuck him. And then finally, I told him, "Dude, shut." I said, "You're so fat now. Your cheeks are so chubby. You look more like an Eskimo than an Indian. Shut the fuck up. Pull your igloo up and let's eat, man."
And then he started laughing.
And then he laughed at that. Yeah.
Like, you need to be more racist with me.
but then getting that transitioning. Whatever humor it is, oil field people laugh at out here at backstage or whenever we're doing shows.
Yeah.
It's different, man.
But yeah, well, I figured the oil people would be like way more like they want the more like racist, like kind of shit.
They laugh at simple stuff too. A lot of them do. It's not complicated, man. Very simple shit.
like kicked in the balls, fart shit.
Yeah, Idiocracy.
Kick in the nuts or whatever. Oh, my balls. That's what it was. Oh, my balls.
I mean, I'm laughing at that.
I have a question for Paul.
We'll take care of Paul. Just like show him some kick in the nuts videos.
I'm Warfield. What's up, Z?
I just want to know, you know, obviously when you're out there, you get to test your jokes out on people. Do you, you travel a lot for your job. Do you ever get to go do mics in different cities and stuff? And
there was the opportunity to do that, especially in Houston, was well, when I went during COVID time, I don't even know if they were open. I didn't even try, but there's times where we've gone to Houston and the only vehicle we're in is that big work truck. And it logs when you drive, and then you have the whole DOT hours. You can only drive 11 hours, be on for 14, yada, yada, yada. So I didn't have a vehicle. And then Uber from where I was at to, like, improv, man, I think back and forth it would have been, back then, like, I want to say 70, 80 bucks for a round trip. For one way, and then, yeah. So, yeah, it was like some bitch.
Like Loving to Houston? Like.
No. From where we were at in Baytown to the Improv in Houston.
Oh, okay.
So
what Paul is saying is he's not passionate about his craft, and that $80 is too much for his big oil money that he makes.
I feel like Paul would do well in the Houston environment. Absolutely. Or whatever. Like,
let me tell you this. There was
a lot of terrible people in Houston.
So we had this room where we would go. I don't know if I said this on the other podcast or not. I feel like I'm repeating myself, but
Paul has his own podcast. It's called Vanilla Beaners. So if you want to hear more about Paul, you can check out that podcast. And he might have said this already, but keep going, Paul.
Thank you. It's with Selena Martinez. Okay, so we were over there, and there's a lot of black dudes over in Houston, and a lot of them own their own trucks too, man. A lot of entrepreneurs, and so. I was in there. The coolest dudes are the old black dudes because they don't give a fuck, bro. They're just going to tell you what they feel. They're just, and they accepted me like right off the bat. And I think a lot of people think I'm half black, right? For some reason. I don't know why, but people do.
You're acceptable.
Or I'm Puerto Rican, too.
It's because you know the proper pronunciation of the N word.
or Puerto Rican, too, right?
You're non offensive Mexican now.
So I was telling the story. So it was about four dudes in the room, and there was this older black dude, cool dude, Mr. Eddie. And he was in there. He looked like Richard Pryor before Richard Pryor got all fucked up, right? And he'd been driving a truck with his company for 30-something years. And I'm in there, and I'm talking shit, whatever I was talking, blah, blah, blah. And then as I finished, I just noticed Mr. Eddie's just looking at me. He's just staring at me. And I said, what's up, man? He's like, man, I know your twin. I said, you know my twin? He's like, yep. I said, you know somebody that looks like me? He's like, yep. And this guy's from Louisiana, Mississippi area, right there on the border. And I said, you know somebody that looks like me? He's like, yep. And acts like me, talks like me. He's like, yep. And then I pause and I'm looking around the room. Man, I said, is this dude Mexican? He said, nope. And I just left it at that. I was going to say, was he white? I mean, I wasn't going to go down the road, but yeah, going to the road with him. But my wife says, I bet you got a lot of twins over in Louisiana, Mississippi area. But
you kind of look like you could be a Cajun guy. I don't know. If people didn't hear you talk.
I think what it is, it's that I found out somewhere down the line, and I believe it's my great-great-grandma is Puerto Rican, right? And so, you know, the Puerto Ricans, when the Spaniards came over, and then they brought the slaves, and then they all mingled with the slaves and the Puerto Ricans and the Spaniards, and then out comes, you know, modern-day Puerto Ricans and stuff. So I believe that's where that 8% black doing for my DNA comes from, is from my great-great-grandma's side. So people have always said I was Puerto Rican, and I was like, hey, shut the fuck up, right? Because, you know, I don't want
to. I mean, like, me walking up to you, I would not be surprised if you weren't Puerto Rican, especially your hat choices. Like,
yeah.
And then people say I don't speak like I'm from Lubbock. This is the way I've always spoken, talked, however you want
to
say.
Does Lubbock have an accent, though? Because I'm from Lubbock, too. And, like, I don't feel like there's a Lubbock accent.
You don't have one, Steve. You don't have one.
I don't know. You go up north, and people can definitely tell that you're from Texas, though. You know, it's like.
But, like, is it straight Texas and not, like, a Lubbock? Like, then it's just,
I don't know, man.
Some people say, I have an East Coast accent. I don't have an East Coast accent. I don't put on an East Coast accent. I don't think I do. Maybe it's how I talk fast and
not dropping your R's or anything.
Like, no. But some people, one guy thought I was Jew. Some people, I don't know, man. I'm just everything, I guess. I'm a melting pot. I am America, damn it. I'm the embodiment of America.
You look like you're melting.
That's I am a melting pot. I am America. All right. Well, we're pretty good far along on this, so let's just do the question part. I know you've already said some questions, but we'll go back and forth one or two for questions for Paul. And my first one is you're a big supporter of Crocs, and why? And why?
Just like
explain to the people why Crocs are great, and I will deny whatever you say.
I started wearing flip flops. I was wearing flip flops for a while, and they slip off, man. They'll slip off if you're doing yard work. They're not as versatile, right? And I saw there was some Crocs on sale at Academy years and years ago, and I'm like, hey, dude, I like those, man. I think I got them for $20, and I bought them, and I was like, holy shit, they have sport mode as well. So they have lounge mode, right, which the strap in the front, and then sport mode, you put the strap in the back. That way it secures your heel, and then you're ready to run.
What the fuck sport are you playing in Crocs?
Shit talking.
I think his current Crocs have like a coffee cup on them.
Yeah, that's called a gibbet. They have different gibbets. I've had at Christmas. I'll put a Christmas tree in Santa Claus. My daughter just asked for some more gibbets. All my family has Crocs, dude. Everyone in my family has Crocs.
So yeah, so you're passing that down through your family. That's terrible.
I am. So. You're like
the only one keeping them in business, you know that, dude, right?
But here's the thing. My friend told me that during this COVID era that Crocs were the only company, this is before everything opened up, that the only shoe company to see a profit. And he says, I blame you. You blame me.
Crocs were the only one that made a profit.
Only shoe company during
because
the first.
Well, yeah, because everybody's like hanging out home and they don't go out into public.
So they had to stay inside.
They were the only shoe company to see a profit. So what's happened is the Crocs that I would get on sale for like $15 or $20, now they're like $30, dude. I mean, that's what normally
I was at the store, Crocs are $40. And yeah, I checked because I was like, Paul's upset about this. I need to fact check.
Paul's got the Beanie Baby of Crocs. Like, he's just like, I got the Crocs that you want right now for a lot more money. So
eBay.
I got the Yeezy Crocs or whatever.
But that's what's happened, man. And I'm just a big fan of them. They're versatile. You can wear them in the winter. Just put double the socks if you want, or thicker socks, or the fuzzy socks, whatever. And they're easy to clean. You can wash them. I love them, bro. These are my newest ones. They're a chocolate color. You can't really tell. And I had the ones with the anchor before that I was wearing with like that Rocky type. It's called this. What is it called? A crewman's cap?
What's it called in the Croc industry?
But yeah, I love Crocs, man. Everybody should get on board with Crocs.
I can't get there. I can't like dive into the Croc thing. I guess I was gonna ask Steven a question, but he's busy now on his phone.
I was looking at that's photo evidence. I was actually checking the price tags on the Crocs.
Steven is showing us like this legs of Crocs.
It doesn't look like they're selling a lot. Every row is completely full. So maybe they're flubbing their numbers somewhere. they're ringing in 50% chips, but they're charging you half price drinks at Crocs.
Buy the Crocs and get an extra pair of Crocs.
Oh, yeah. It's my turn to ask a question now.
Yeah.
Paul, so you have a shit ton of kids, which is normal for your people.
Right.
I've only ever seen your boy. Your boy is kind of teenage years, right?
I have a 17-year-old who's 6'1 right now.
Okay. Well, that's the only one I've ever seen then, is because you only have one boy?
Uh-huh. Well, I got an 8-year-old. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, how many kids do you have?
I've got four. My oldest daughter is 23, my son's 17, my daughter's 12, and then my other boy's 8.
Okay. So,
almost 10 years out of it. We got to wait 10 years.
5 years apart, man.
Really
5 years apart.
Out. Yeah. Your comedy is not always the cleanest.
No, not at all.
Do you have any obviously you have adult children, so you don't worry about them hearing it, but do you have any problems with your kids hearing it, or would you?
That's a good question. When it comes to, not really. I mean, if I talk about my butthole and my balls, then maybe, but not with my son. Like, he got out of the shower the other day, right, and he walks in the room, and he's wearing his underwear. I said, hey, dude, put on some clothes or something, man, or at least fold your dick in half or something, son. What are you doing, man?
Are you embarrassed by the size of your son's dick?
Dude, he's got a six-pack. He's in shape. He's tall. He's like, son of a bitch, man. Stop showing off. Stop it. What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Put some clothes on.
What are you doing?
You're making me look bad over here.
Yeah. What are you doing, man? Yeah, tuck it between your legs or something. I don't want to have to see it in your underwear, man, because that's all I'm looking at. Like, dude, what do you? It's like it's not show and tell. You know, it's some bitch, dude, do something, man. So no, but you didn't. I don't know if you met my daughter, but do you remember whenever we did the John Lewis had the head nod. The JJ, what is that called? The coffee house, the J and
oh,
J.
Studio 19.
No. J and, what is it called?
J and B.
Coffee. Oh, yeah.
I was like Cafe J, Triple I'll J. Just say BJ. I was going through all the different.
How many coffee shows have we failed at? Let's see.
So it was a clean comedy show.
So I have my 12-year-old there, and my 12-year-old daughter. My wife is white, so my daughter's half white, and she's tall for her age. I think this was a couple years ago, so she was 10 or 11, and. And so I have my arm around her, and she's almost the same height as me. And then Steven's walking by, and all he sees is blonde hair and me with my arm around her. And Steven looks. So Steven taps me on the shoulder and points at her and points at me like, hey, is she with you? And I'm like, that's my daughter, man. Do you remember that?
I don't.
So Steven was hitting on your daughter?
No, but he was like, he was like almost,
good
almost
for
like
you.
A, yes,
look
yes.
Yeah, that's some Arafa shit.
You and Selena were sitting there on the steps.
Yeah,
on the steps going up, uh-huh. And then it was packed. And you and Kendall were walking to the front to do something. And then I had
smoke weed.
Okay, yeah, okay. So
we
I had
were walking
my,
to
I
the
have,
front to smoke.
You
either
walking to the front or walking back. I don't remember. And I had my arm around my daughter, and you tapped me like, "Hey, is it you with her?" Like, because you just saw blonde hair. She's got blonde hair.
I've never seen your wife either, though, so I could see why I would make that mistake. Like, I don't know what you fuck with, Paul. Like,
oh, yeah.
Paul's got a bunch of kids, and he's got a super young girlfriend and a
Paul's
wife.
On his third wife. She's like 24 years old.
Super young girlfriend.
Steven just saw young, and is like, "Hey, check this out.
Look at this guy.
Check out Paul, man. This is my idol right here. This is my mentor.
I knew Puerto Ricans did it, right?
But yeah, but you don't remember I said, this is my daughter, man.
No, I probably was just like, okay. And then just went about my fucking day like a normal person did in that situation. Like, oh, yeah.
Never mind.
I love that stood out for you.
It was funny because I thought it was hilarious, man. So yeah, I got a lot of kids.
So yeah, I got
And I'm gonna, I've said this before too, but at Cheryl's Roast at Christian's house, someone, I think it was either you bringing me up, someone's bringing me up. It's like, Paul, he's got four kids. And then one of Kristen's roommates, I don't know who she was, as she was getting up, she said, damn. You know, I'm right there. Like,
okay. I'm standing right here.
I'm right here.
And I think that can be found on the Laugh Up City Facebook account. Check it out. Like, the live roast of Cheryl. But, all right, yeah, we'll do, I guess we'll do one more question each, and then we can wrap this shit up. So I always have a lot of dumb questions. So Paul, you're obviously out like driving and going out and things. It's like, what's the place that you look for? Like when you're out of town, you're just like, what's your like home base? You're just like, oh, I need to go here and eat food or whatever. Like, where do you go to? Like,
man, that's a good, I'm gonna tell you that when I was in Houston for almost 2.5 months. This from June through whenever, and I was really missing Jimmy John's because where we were at, we didn't
Listen
have
that hard bread. No, I'm just kidding.
Dude, that bread is hard. I had Jimmy John's today, and I was like, oh, it's like
you beat someone up with that bread.
It's like eating a big ass crouton. It's just like.
Well, thanks for shitting all over my home base, man.
keep going. Sorry.
No, you're all right. Yeah. So I was really missing Jimmy John's, and. We didn't have access to Jimmy John's because we had one work truck. There were like 50 people there in the hotel, 50 of my company drivers in there. And we'd fight for the truck to go on our days off in town, Houston, whatever. And this is when the hurricane was hitting, right? There was nobody on the roads. And I spotted this Jimmy John's on the highway, and I've been planning it out.
So I'm like, going fuck,
I'm going there right off of I-10. So I make that exit, and I park in a dental office that's empty. And there's business complex, everything. I go in there, and I tell the dudes, hey, I want that number 9, Jimmy it up. And I said, put 3 times the meat. And they're like,
what
well,
is the number 9 for the people that don't know Jimmy John's?
It's an Italian nightclub, I think is what they call it.
So Italian sandwich, just big. Giant Italian.
Yeah, and then they jimmy it up with the Italian dressing and the peppers and the tomato, just everything, man. It's so fucking great. And then I said, I want 3 times of meat. He's like, yeah, well, we're going to put double. I said, no, I want 3 times. I mean, whatever you can do, multiply it by 3. And those guys are like, yeah, well, this is double. I said, no, three times. All right? I eat once a day. I eat once a day. I'm doing this intermittent fasting.
So you
I eat
want
once
three
a day.
Sandwiches? So like, no, I want the meat of three sandwiches in one sandwich. One.
And the guys are like, dang. So I'm over there talking shit, messing with these guys, asking them about their mom and stuff. And then, so then I get in the truck and I had to turn around and it's a tight spot, man. And I jumped the curb with the back of the trailer. I almost hit this fence, this gate. I had to go up onto the other curb, and there was a car there, and then I almost hit a tree as I backed around. If hurricane season had been, if the hurricane wasn't hitting, I would have never gotten that Jimmy John's, man. And that was the only time I ate Jimmy John's there in Houston in those 2.5 months. That was my home base, man.
That
was
it. Like, I got the Jimmy John's.
I was so thankful for the hurricane that day. That was my embassy. That was my helicopter out of Vietnam.
That's awesome.
It was your Joel Osteen.
I was so thankful for the hurricane because I would have fucked some stuff up in that truck, man.
Well, you kind of answered my question that I was going to ask you. You said you've lost 15 pounds. It definitely shows, Paul.
No, 35 pounds. 35.
Oh, okay.
No, come on, Steven.
Anyway, so you said intermittent fasting, and obviously you're switching into sport croc mode and getting stuff done. So what's your regimen? Like, is it just the diet, or are you doing some exercise as well?
Intermittent fasting. It's kettlebells. It's elliptical. It's riding my bike. And... number one, what's really motivating me besides my kids and being healthy is getting a girlfriend on the side. I've told my wife that's the key to
she
every
supports
marriage.
Us.
Yeah. Dude, it's less hassle for her, man. Come on, dude. Do you think she would want to fuck me? No. If she can, someone else can do the job, she's probably gonna pay him. Okay. If she don't have to do it.
You have a pool boy at your house or something? Like
cute little blonde girl that's going around with you?
A pool boy for me? I'd take it. You know what I'm saying? So, but no, it's kettlebells. Like we came in there, Durbin's got a 35-pound kettlebell, and I just did a Turkish get-up. What would you say? Do you think I did that with ease? Huh?
No, that was a good Turkish get-up. I hate Turkish get-ups. Yeah. But watching you, I'm like, oh, that's like, it's so cumbersome to like, get up and like have to move around and do all that shit. I can't believe it.
I'm about to ask you guys to teach me how to exercise when we're done with this.
When we finish this podcast, he will show you a Turkish get-up. I will not because I hate him so much. I will show you a goblet squat all day. But so, like,
so what I've done is I have an elliptical in Hobbs. My brother-in-law has we have a TRX, those pulling straps. And we got the kettlebells there. We also have a mat, and he's got a bike. I got my bike. I got a bike over there as well. And I got an elliptical for Lubbock, and they're not expensive ellipticals. I paid $50 for these, and they get the job done, man.
Bike,
yeah,
like.
No, they're not the Matrix type you see at these hotels and stuff. No, it's just a very simple elliptical, and it's not that gazelle thing from that guy Tony Little. Yeah, no, this is something different, and it just gets the job done. And I'll go in there, plus along with this Fitbit that my daughter got me for Father's Day, I keep track of everything, man, of walks, of exercise, stretches too. I start my morning with stretches. I drink 16 ounces of water right off the bat. Vitamins daily, the kefir milk. I mean, it's. I feel like such
kefir milk. What the fuck's that?
It's it helps with your gut health, and also one of the doctors from Lubbock here had a vitamin regimen, vitamin D, vitamin something else.
Well, I understand vitamin D. That's like that fights the COVID.
Yeah, because you know that's why black people are getting it because they're vitamin D resistant.
That's what people are telling. Yes,
that's not racist either. That's just science, guys. I'm a man of science, man. You know, I believe butterflies and fly south to the whatever. So that's what I've been doing, man. And it's I sound like such a douchebag going on and on about it, but I feel great, man.
That's good. You look good.
You do look good. Yeah. I haven't really been. I know this is all that's audio, so I can pretend like you look like shit. But yeah, you definitely look a lot better than.
I gave him the chair from the dining room, which I was just like, if it was an old Paul, I would have probably kind of given one of my chairs
a little bit more sturdy.
Because like those chairs are pretty rickety.
Barrel in here.
I mean, I can get up off the ground. I can touch my toes. That's something I've been able. I don't know when the last time I was ever able to do that. There's a song that Selena said, "Hey, is this you?" It's Action Bronson from Fuck That.
I thought you'd be like, "My legs, my back."
You motherfucker. That's pretty good. No, Action Bronson, and it's called Latin Grammys or something like that, and he starts off and he says, "I might not be able to touch my toes, but I'm still gonna fuck these hoes," and that's the chorus, and that's the chorus. And I told Selena, and I told my wife too. I mean, I can I mean, I can touch my toes though, but I mean, I still want to fuck these hoes. So if I mean, tell me where they're at. I don't know. I'm not. Yeah.
Looking for hoes for Paul on the side gig. Check with the wife first.
Hey, yeah. I went down to go get this other strap for this Fitbit right here. It's a Velcro, so it lets your skin breathe, right? So I was going down. It was game day. It was Saturday, and there's a whole bunch of tech kids, tech girls, dudes, everything, and then. This one house of these tech girls stood out to me, but not because of the young ones that were there. There was some, just whatever these women were wearing on the porch, right? And as I look forward, I'm like, oh shit, those are tech moms. Holy shit.
That I know, it's so sad that now we're just like onto the moms. Like, oh, yeah. Those girls are too young. Ugh.
Yo, yeah.
Like, moms, yes.
Yeah, me and my wife and my cousin were there and talking. And I said, yeah, man. I said, I'll talk a porch full of tech moms. I'm like, holy shit, I got excited. I wanted to know how to
barbecue ladies.
But you could tell because of the way they dress, it's a more conservative. Conservative, and it's like, damn, man, this is what I'm talking about. Where can I go to mom tailgates, bro? I'd be a tailgate.
Do you guys need jalapeno poppers? Because I could take care of this for you.
Hey, ladies, I've been working out.
I brought the mimosas.
You guys know Turkish get-ups? I know you do.
Hey, I'm also into yoga. If you want to, we can get down with that. If you want, man, show me a few things.
I don't
want to
see Paul do yoga.
I'll show you how I touch my toes if you show me how you touch yours.
I might not be able to touch my toes, but I want to talk to these tech moms. You see, that's something there. There's something there, man. Yeah, I'm not a musician.
We'll start the rap game later. We'll like later, like Steven's podcast is where we'll start the rap shit.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Become a rapper on Steven's podcast. Yeah. That'd be fun. I got like my name's Heavy Cream, AVYCRM. But
yeah, my rap name is definitely Medium Steven. There's a lot of lils, there's a lot of bigs. There's no mediums.
That's true, medium. Like
that also implies that I could talk to ghosts though. I'll have to clear that up every single time.
That's a great song right there. I can't talk to ghosts. We can fit in the size between large and small. Like,
that's yeah, great. I'm down. Let's do it.
All right. Well, the way we close this podcast out is like you pick a album from Mars, and you picked Madonna's True Blue. Yeah. And like I like it. Explain why you picked that, and like it was like you can say it was like because your album fucking selection sucks or whatever.
No.
Well, that
spoke to me in regards to what I told you before the recording is because of Reservoir Dogs when they're all sitting around the table talking about Madonna's Like a Virgin, and Quentin Tarantino says that song is a metaphor for big dicks because it's about this
dick.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's a lot of dicks. And then the other one says, I liked her stuff when she was into what did it say, True Blue, right? And then but everything,
Borderline and all that other shit. That True Blue, I had to fucking check the hat. Oh, really
that's why I picked that because of that that dialogue, that opening scene on Reservoir Dogs. So.
Great, I love it. Like, that's good. Well, I think this is a great episode, guys. This is episode 5 of First Stage. Special guest host Steven Feldman.
What up?
Guest Paul Y. Arias. Hello. You can find him on the Vanilla Beaners podcast. And you can find him getting booked late on our open mics. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So check it out. Check out all the stuff. And we will catch you on the next episode. Later.
Crocs. Rage. Paul. First Stage.